Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
9,500 migrants are now living under a bridge along the U.S.-Mexico border in Del Rio, Texas. That crowd continues to grow.
We just learned that the FAA has put out a temporary flight restriction, a TFR, in the area immediately around the port of entry where that bridge is.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The great and boss has spoken.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Vaccination requirements work, and they're good for the economy.
So it's likely we're going to have such a thing at some point.
I certainly think it's going to be an important thing for people to have.
But it's a requirement for people at a business with more than 100 people. It is not a requirement for migrants at the southern border. Why?
That's correct. Go ahead.
Is there any question that you will answer? Because you haven't answered one question yet. How in God's name did you get this job?
I am great at dealing with these disturbances.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, and thanks to everybody that came out to Precinct 10 in Weymouth. Howie and Grace had a great time with everybody, and I hope everybody there had a great time with them. We're going to continue on with the show today till 7 o'clock, of course, 844-500-4242. Big news dump day, as Howie has been saying all throughout the show, a huge news dump day. And it's very strange, too. This all seems to happen. You know, we get the typical Friday news dumps with holiday weekends, long weekends, governmental long weekends. Not all of us get the long weekend. But it seems more and more that the vacation weekends for Joe Biden is when all of the bad news is dumped. It's funny, 3 days ago, Tony Blinken told Senator Rand Paul that he did not know who was killed in the airstrike. He did not know if the U.S. drone strike in Afghanistan, if the victim was an ISIS-K member or a civilian. And Rand Paul chided him, saying, well, don't you think that's somebody you ought to know before you blow them to smithereens? Or words to those to that effect. And looking back on it, just 3 days ago, how could you not have known when today they're announcing, the DOD comes out and announces that this is what happened. We killed 10 civilians, 7 of them children, in Afghanistan. We got it wrong. And, oh, it was a humble mistake. It was an honest mistake. Let's go through some of these cuts. I know Howie was a bit tied up with Precinct 10 and talking to everybody there. We were hoping to have a really happy, jovial show today, but I hate to bring it down in the last hour as well. But these sound cuts are of importance and really does speak to how wrong this administration got this, and raises a lot more questions, I think, than answers were given. Let's start at the top here, Matt. Let's go through these cuts. This is General McKenzie, and he's a CENTCOM leader talking about what happened with the drone strike, how we got to the point where we decided, let's carry this out. And by we, I mean the Pentagon and General Milley and the President of the United States. Cut 24.
Our investigation now concludes that the strike was a tragic mistake. First, I will stress this was not a rushed strike. The strike cell deliberately followed and observed this vehicle and its occupants for 8 hours while cross-checking what they were seeing with all available intelligence to develop a reasonable certainty of the imminent threat that this vehicle posed to our forces.
Question number one is, what was the available intelligence? Who did we have on the ground that was telling them, that was relaying to them in real time, as they like to say, in real time, who was in that car and what they were doing? Fox reporters have been saying this whole time as we've pulled out of Afghanistan, we have nobody left on the ground. And if we do have people left on the ground, we don't have any way of really contacting them for reliable information because they're all hiding. They don't want the Taliban knocking on their door and slicing their heads off because they're in contact with U.S. officials. So how on earth are we supposed to get reliable information on the ground? Let's move on to cut 25.
Second, while the initial reports indicated a secondary explosion, the initial investigation could only conclude that there was a possible to probable presence of external accelerants that could include either explosive material in the vehicle or an ignition of the gas tank of the vehicle. Subsequent analysis could not rule out the presence of a small amount of explosive material, but determined that the most likely cause was the ignition of gas from a propane tank located immediately behind the car. Such an ignition would have created the brief but massive fireball oriented directly up and out of the compound that was observed in the video and displayed in this photo. If we could get that next photo up, please.
Well, obviously, radio is not a really good medium for seeing photos, but yeah, that would explain the secondary explosion. Gas in the car. What a novel idea. Very sad. He went on to confirm that there were 10 people dead, 7 of them children. He also fessed up that this was our mistake. Cut 27.
At the time of the strike, based upon all the intelligence and what was being reported, I was confident that the strike had averted an imminent threat to our forces at the airport. Based upon that assessment, I and other leaders in the repeatedly asserted the validity of this strike. I am here today to set the record straight and acknowledge our mistakes. I will end my remarks with the same note of sincere and profound condolences to the family and friends of those who died in this tragic strike. We are exploring the possibility of ex gratia payments. And I'll finish by saying that while the team conducted the strike, did so in the honest belief that they were preventing an imminent attack on our forces and civilian evacuees, we now understand that to be incorrect.
My biggest question, I guess, in all of this, who gave them the information? If, you know, we were relying on information on the ground, who were we relying on? And I cannot rule the Taliban out. Yeah, I'm no foreign relations expert. I'm no expert on anything. I know a little about a lot of things and sometimes a lot about a few things. But if we were trying to evacuate Americans and U.S. allies from Kabul and we were relying on the Taliban for security around the airport, I don't think it's a completely erroneous assertion that the Taliban may have been the one to give us information about this vehicle and with known ties to ISIS-K. The person inside. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities. And General McKenzie was asked about that. Who was responsible for calling the strike? Will anybody be held responsible? Cut 29.
And will anybody be held responsible?
We are in the process right now of continuing that line of investigation, and I have nothing for you now because that involves personnel issues.
You want the long answer or the short answer? Long answer is no. I doubt anybody's going to be held responsible for this. This seems like this press conference was a my bad. Let's move on. It's Operation Change the Subject. I don't know what the news cycle over the weekend is going to be able to focus on, because in one day we've learned that we've had a drone strike that killed 7 children, 3 adults, all of them civilians, Afghan civilians, no ties to ISIS-K. We have 12,000 migrants that are huddling under a bridge in Del Rio, Texas, all taking numbers like they're at a deli, and they're waiting for that free meat and cheese to come over the border and get access to everything that America has to offer for free. We have this botched booster plan, this terribly bungled booster plan that apparently the FDA is not going to approve booster shots for everybody come the fall. They are looking at the possibility of just a certain category of age group, but that's for the seriously vulnerable, and I use seriously very loosely. And France has taken their ambassadors out of the United States. That's a move that is the first, as far as we can tell, as far as the experts can tell, that's the first time that has ever happened in the history of the relations between the United States and France. So since the inception of the idea of ambassadors from one country to another, back in the days of Ben Franklin, that has not happened. There's always been a French ambassador to the U.S. stationed in D.C. They have pulled their ambassadors out because of our actions, because of the way Joe Biden's administration has acted over this deal, this USOC. Is that what they're calling it? The U.S. And Australia and U.K. Deal that involved a submarine technology, and France got the short end of the stick. We'll explain that a little bit later on in the program as well. They got the short end of the stick because apparently the Australia went behind their back with America and really reneged on an already existing deal with France, which is, I believe, taking about $90 billion out of their economy. So, yeah, they're pretty understandably upset over this deal. And the French president, not the French president, but France's foreign minister, that's Tony Blinken's counterpart in France, Jean-Yves Le Drian, said the move came at the request of President Macron. Le Drian had compared the U.S. decision to something, quote, Mr. Trump would do. It's funny how Joe Biden is turning out to be everything that they said Donald Trump was, but in reality never was. He turned out to be a great foreign relations. Yes, he was tough, but he got a lot done for a lot of countries. 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls and get into much, much more after the break. I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Howie Carr. This is the Howie Carr Show.
It's his show, and he knows how to use it.
You turn on my phone for me if you would. I am paying for this microphone, Mr.
Say what you will about him.
He's a common, ignorant slob. He don't even speak good English.
He doesn't even speak good English.
He's Howie Carr, and he's here to stay.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. 413 says, American jobs over France any day. I agree. 781 says, Taylor, France can cry in their, they can cry in their crepes. I like that. But, you know, that's interesting, and the statement that this is something that Trump would do, I don't agree with that. If Trump said he was going to override a deal, he'd hold a press conference about it. How many times did he do that? He held a press conference saying that, oh, we're going to pull out of the Paris Climate Accord or any other deal that he thought was bad for America or didn't put America first. He told the world about it. He told the public about it. He didn't do it backhandedly like Australia and the U.S. have done. France is taking their ball and going home. But it's very interesting the way this was handled. So this is from the Washington Post. The Biden administration's move to share sensitive nuclear submarine technology with Australia, which was first announced on Wednesday, effectively canceled an earlier agreement between Australia and France. Under that previous deal, Australia would have purchased 12 French diesel-powered submarines. And I thought I saw the figure some point during the story today. It came out to, well, tens of billions of dollars for the French economy. So that is no longer going to happen, and they're very upset. So they've taken their ball and they've gone home. And they also canceled a gala that they had planned for tonight in Washington, D.C. They canceled it. That's the passive aggressiveness of France. We've got to get to the poll question, and today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Just for our listeners, save $200 on the 3-Pack through this Sunday, or order online, go to EdenPureDeals.com, put in code word Howie3. Matt, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
So is the FAA's decision to ground the Fox News drone political or legitimate?
It's obviously political.
99% say political.
Yeah, Fox News has been on the border for 7 months covering the border crisis that Kamala, doing the job that Americans like Kamala Harris can't be bothered to do, getting to the root causes of immigration at the border. And they've been using that drone the whole time, hasn't been a problem. All of a sudden, 12,000 migrants show up in Del Rio, Texas, huddled under a bridge, trying to keep cool under the shade of the overpass, and that's when the FAA comes in and says, we've got to restrict your flight credit there for 2 weeks there, pal. Bob, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Thank you. Hi, Taylor.
Hi.
Hi, I'm really sorry about what has happened. This is just, you know, terrible. I do want, you know, try to stay a little on topic with Biden, but I was kind of curious about, do you have any take on who might be Trump's chosen running mate in the future?
I hope it's DeSantis. I really do. I mean, that gives him the foot to run for president. DeSantis, I'm saying, in the future. I don't think it's exactly the right time for DeSantis to be running for president. There's still a long time between now and 2024. Don't misunderstand me. A lot could happen. And DeSantis is certainly prominent. But I think a lot of people need to see how the whole COVID thing shakes out. And that's the whole thing especially with Trump's administration. We were told so much by the mainstream media, and by we, I mean the collective we, the royal we as the nation, told so much by the mainstream media. And it only took until months after his administration to find out that a lot of the reporting wasn't true. Russiagate being one of many, many examples. And even the stuff with the COVID and the vaccine rollouts, it was all due to Trump. And there was so much misreporting about it that he wasn't really given a fair shake until he was out of office. And even then, even now, he's really not getting a fair shake. So, and I think that's what the media is trying to do with DeSantis right now. And they're going to continue to try to do up until the 2024 election is discredit him, especially with the COVID numbers, which still, Florida, as far as death rates, is still in the middle of the pack of the entire nation. They're in like 26 as far as deaths in the United States. They're going to try to continue to discredit him because of his, well, because of how he treats his citizens, which is they're free to do what they want. And they should be able to make the choices for their families and for their children that they think are the right choices. And he has had no problem in coming out and saying, look, the vaccine works. I've had it. You can get it. You should get it if you want to be fully protected or as close to fully protected as you can be. But that's the mainstream media for you. They're going to continue to do that and try to discredit him as much as they can so he doesn't really get a fair shot. But to answer your question, Bob, I think Ron DeSantis would be a wise choice for Trump as a running mate. We'll be back after the break. I'm Taylor Cormier. This is The Howie Carr Show.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. Take your calls in just a few moments here. We do want to mention, of course, that the booster shots, the FDA panel is largely agreeing not to recommend them for everybody across the board. Only for people who are 65 or older or run a risk of severe disease, a high risk of severe disease. It's a heavy blow to the Biden administration's sweeping effort to shore up nearly all Americans' protection amid the spread of the highly contagious Delta variant. In a surprising turn, this is from the AP, the panel first rejected by a vote of 16-2 boosters for nearly everyone. Members cited a lack of safety data on extra doses and also raised doubts about the value of mass boosters rather than ones targeted to specific groups. This is crazy. We're actually thinking about this now with common sense that maybe not everybody is at risk of dying or getting sick from this virus. We're actually using our heads now. When did that happen? Then in an 18-0 vote, it endorsed the extra shot for select portions of the U.S. population, namely those most at risk from the virus, 65 and older, or those who run a high risk of severe disease, immunocompromised people. This is just for the Pfizer booster shots, and they're the ones that have a ready-made booster shot. Moderna also has vaccines out there as well. That would help salvage part of the White House's campaign recommending the 65 and older and immunocompromised people get booster shots, but would still be a huge step back from the huge plan proposed by administration a month ago to offer booster shots of both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines to nearly all Americans 8 months after they get their first dose. Interesting. So it raises, again, more questions about where we're going with the control of this Delta variant. And here in Massachusetts, we have Governor Charlie Baker, who's considering ramming vaccine identification cards down our throats, vaccine passports, something that gets more and more, it loses its significance with each passing day, I think. What's the end game, first of all? In New York City, Bill de Blasio, he put in the vaccine identification cards, the vaccine passports. Look how that's ending up. You've got waitresses, hostesses being attacked by people, which should not be the case. It's no way to behave, but it's also no way to behave to treat any American, black, white, any color, as a second-class, second-rate citizen because they don't want to produce a card that says they've taken the shot. By the way, it's okay for employers, I guess. Some employers are saying you can have a religious exemption if you don't want to get the shot, and they'll accept that. And my other question is, what about the restaurants? Are they also obligated to accept religious exemptions? We heard the video yesterday of a black family in New York City getting thrown out of a restaurant because they claimed religious exemption and refused to show a vaccine identification passport. What is the end game? Say everybody gets it. Do we keep it in place? Do we keep that passport requirement in place? Until when? Is this a forever thing? Is this just a now thing? Because people are always, it's gotten to the point, people are always going to be afraid of COVID, no matter what you do. This generation that is old enough to understand what's happening, but is too dumb to realize that it's not happening to them, and it's not a major concern to most people who are in relatively good health, they're going to stick with this pandemonium for the rest of their lives. 844-500-4242. Gene, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Gene.
Hi. First of all, I just wanted to say that Trump would have to move to New York to have DeSantis as his VP, right? I mean, you'd have to move somewhere. You can't have a vice president and a president from the same state.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. Maybe that's what Trump is planning on doing. Maybe he's planning on running for mayor or governor of New York for a term or so, just to curry some favor over there, and then choose DeSantis as a running mate later down the road. Who knows? Go ahead.
As far as this COVID goes, what difference does it make if we're letting hundreds of thousands of people into the country who aren't going to be vaccinated?
Never mind be vaccinated. They're not being tested for anything, not just COVID, for anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's disgusting. And on, along that same line, my business, I am a search consultant. I depend upon people that are very, very intelligent that can work in the battery materials field. Do you think that any of them are able to move their visas faster?
No, no, I don't think so. Thanks very much for the call, Gene. Good, very good points. Brian, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, Gene actually stole my thunder. I was going to make the same point about how a vice president and a president can't be from the same state. So, but yeah, that'd be interesting to see because we know who has the bigger ego. So who's moving?
Yeah, well, who's got the more real estate, too? I don't think it's DeSantis either. Yeah, thanks very much for the call, Brian. That is a good point. 844-500-4242. Getting back to COVID, I don't know exactly where we go from. We just give it up, right? Just give it up. The texters are pointing out, Taylor 781 says, instead of reporting that the FDA has roundly agreed on saying boosters are not required, the lib media is saying the FDA has unanimously agreed boosters are recommended for 65 plus. Always with the scare tactics, what did Bill Maher say today? Let's play that cut, Matt, that Bill Maher cut. I believe it's cut two. Cut one.
Liberal media has to take a little responsibility for that, for scaring the shit out of people. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it's much harder for every touring act to sell tickets in blue states.
Oh, interesting.
They're afraid to go out of the house.
I see.
Whereas in red states, it's all good to go.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you, I watched the entire interview. That's rare for me to watch anything with Bill Maher. I don't care for the man. I don't care for his politics in most circumstances. But like Grace was saying earlier today, it's a strange week when you're agreeing with Bill Maher on the points he's making. And the same goes for me as well. Before this part of the conversation took place, they were talking about smoking marijuana and how weird it is for them now because they're of another generation where they had to hide it when they were you know, my age back in the 80s or whatever, they had to hide any talk or discussion of it, but now they can talk about it openly. And the audience was roaring with laughter and applause. But once he got onto COVID and how the liberal media is scaring the bleep out of people, the audience went silent. And so did Jimmy Kimmel. I think that's very, very telling as to what the public's appetite is for this right now, or at least the public that is interested in consuming productions like Jimmy Kimmel's late night show. I think there's a vast majority out there that is fed up, that is ready to live their own lives. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it. People are standing up to these mandates. You can't let them have their thumb over you anymore. Enough is enough. We're seeing this administration is turning out to be everything that they said Trump was going to be, but never was. A dictator. I don't remember any diktats coming out of the Trump administration over COVID. They let people decide for themselves. They weren't mandating any federal workers wear masks or get vaccines. And the vaccine was out under the Trump administration. Don't remember. It was very late into it and the really end days of the Trump administration. But it was going to be available very soon to everybody. Was not mandated. There were no mandates over COVID. He said, we're going to let the states decide. And that's what's happened until Joe Biden came in and became the dictator and set the precedent for everybody by mandating the vaccine, masks for all federal workers, masks on all federal grounds. Whereas Trump was of the ideal that, you know, you're your own person. You decide what's best for you. If you think that you can catch this and die, maybe don't go out of the house. They accused Trump of making phone calls to foreign leaders and trying to bribe them or tell them to do something that was untoward. Yeah, they impeached him on it. Stupid impeachment over a perfectly fine phone call. But Joe Biden, he calls the leader of Afghanistan and tells him point blank, lie about the war on terror, lie about your fight against the Taliban, make everybody think that it's going great, where it probably did cost American lives. I'm going to say definitely cost American lives. We lost 13 and counting, I'm sure. We'll learn more as you know, the months after that phone call rolled on. How many Americans, if they had known the truth about what was going on in Afghanistan, if they knew that the Taliban was encroaching on Kabul, the stronghold for U.S. allies and the Afghan army, how many of them would have decided to leave because they knew that this was impending doom, that the Taliban was coming? How many of them would have gotten out way ahead of time? It's Joe Biden who was to blame for creating this illusion that everything was hunky-dory in Afghanistan, that we had everything under control, there was no need to panic, when he could have been honest and promoted honesty in the Afghan government and started an evacuation process much sooner than what he did. Everything they say that Trump was, the Joe Biden administration is turning out to be, and Trump never was. And where is Joe Biden to answer all of these questions today? Again, 12,000 migrants from mostly Haiti at the Del Rio border. We have a drone strike that our U.S. Department of Defense is admitting killed innocent people. 7 children in Afghanistan. After hours of surveillance and word with people on the ground, we don't have much more information beyond that. Our government is killing innocent people on shoddy information, and nobody's lost their job yet. Nobody's being held accountable. You know, some people think it's funny, but you know, France has pulled its ambassadors from Washington, D.C. You may laugh, but that's significant. That's never happened before. Even under Trump, who did not have the greatest relationship with Emmanuel Macron. Macron made fun of him with Justin Trudeau and Boris Johnson. But he never pulled the ambassadors out of D.C. And we have so much more going on. It's unbelievable. And Joe Biden is on vacation. He's on a beach in his aviators and a Speedo. Actually, if history is any indicator, he's taking the Speedo off, and some Secret Service members are worse for wear because of it.
Bingo.
844-500-4242. We'll take your calls after the break. I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Howie Carr. This is the Howie Carr Show.
Follow Howie on Twitter, at Howie Carr Show. You won't regret it. Traveling around New England,
we're off on the road to Rhode Island.
Howie has you covered. To find a station near you, go to HowieCarShow.com.
Ready to his dying day, if ever he lives that long.
Howie Carr is back.
Just a few minutes left. Kevin, you're next on the Howie Carr Show with Taylor Cormier. Go ahead, Kevin.
Taylor, listen, you touched on it. If we can get Bill Maher to turn around and admit that liberal networks have to be accept blame for this, there's a crack in the armor. The American people need to understand, don't give up. We have a shot here. This administration is crumbling. Donald Trump nailed it when he said Joe Biden is going to transform this country in a way we have never seen before. And in not even a year, he has done exactly that.
Right,
the
right.
American people need to.
No, you're absolutely right, Kevin. And Bill Maher's not the first. He's certainly not going to be the last. John Stewart was one that came out of the same ilk, you know, the same kind of late night talk show program. Kind of a washed up talk show guy now. He does a lot of good work. I'm talking about washed up in the way of his celebrity is gone. Good guy on all accounts, but he came out and said, you know, who would have thought? I mean, why is there still question that this came out of the Wuhan lab or not? I mean, this is a respiratory virus that originated in Wuhan, and we literally have a Wuhan respiratory virus lab in Wuhan. What's the difference? Now we have Nicki Minaj. And the latest in this, I don't really want to talk too much about this. It's an odd story, but good for her for standing up for herself and defending her, I guess for lack of a better term, anti-vax tweets. She is now doxed, for all intents and purposes, reporters that are going after her family. You know, she claimed a friend of her cousin had ill effects from getting the vaccine in Trinidad, and now people are looking for this friend and are contacting Nicki Minaj's family members and reportedly texting them, I know you're hesitant to speak with us, but just letting you know, CNN is in the country looking for you. And when they find you, they won't hesitate to reveal where you live or where your girlfriend lives, anything and anyone who is tied to you. If you speak to me, we won't reveal those details. So what do you say? So instead of, you know, caving to these reporters, I guess Nicki Minaj's friend or her cousin, whoever it is, texted her the business cards of these reporters, and she's posted them saying, bleep, your days are bleeping numbered, you dirty bleep. She posted screenshots of the business cards and told her fans to spam call them and do whatever else. Oh my God, absolutely nuts. Hey, just a quick note before we go here. Thanks so much for the call, Kevin. Just a quick note before we go. I am going to be singing tomorrow night in Providence, Rhode Island. If you want to stop in, 9 p.m. to midnight. It's a late show, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It's at the Ale House Cigar Bar in downtown Providence, 52 Pine Street. I'd love for you guys to show up, smoke a stogie, listen to some great music, and we'll have a great time. Grab a few drinks. Hey, going out with some Sinatra right now. My, that's life. Hope to see you tomorrow night. Thanks for tuning in today. Have a great weekend, everybody.